Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok submits his resignation to the president. The first public trial related to last year's methanol scandal has begun. And hammer thrower Lukáš Melich wins the first medal for the Czechs at the Athletics World Championship in Moscow. Caretaker Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok handed in his resignation to President Miloš Zeman on Tuesday morning after his cabinet failed to win a vote of confidence in the lower house last week. Mr. Rusnok's government will remain in office until the next general elections. President Zeman appointed the interim government in early July, despite criticism from the Chamber of Deputies. The lower house is scheduled to vote on its dissolution next Tuesday, and if the motion is approved, the president will have to schedule early elections within 60 days. Jiří Rusnok's caretaker cabinet approved two controversial ambassadorial appointments even before its confidence vote last week, the Daily Lidové Noviny wrote on Tuesday. According to the paper, the cabinet approved a number of ambassadorial appointments in late July, including that of former First Lady Livia Klausová to Slovakia and that of former astronaut and communist MEP Vladimír Remek to Russia. Both nominations were at the center of a highly public dispute earlier this year between President Miloš Zeman, who supported them, and then Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who was strongly against the candidates. Because of diplomatic protocol, the government's approval of the two candidates has not been officially confirmed ahead of approval by the host countries. But the Prime Minister indicated that the appointments had been pre-negotiated with Moscow and Bratislava. The first public trial connected to the methanol poisoning tragedy last year began in Ostrava on Tuesday. The defendants Petr Hlava and Marek Ženíšek allegedly sold over 70 bottles of alcohol with false labels last October, most of which contained a lethal amount of methyl alcohol. The police claimed that the two men did so knowingly and could have caused hundreds of fatalities. In the end, one man died and six others were hospitalized, and some will suffer long-term health problems as a result of ingesting the toxic drink. The man who died was the 31st victim of the so-called methanol affair, during which 47 people died as a result of drinking lethal amounts of methanol. Police in the Indian state of Goa have extended the detention of a 19-year-old Czech man who is suspected of brutally killing a 24-year-old Czech woman at a seaside resort, according to a report in the Times of India. The body of the young woman, who suffered multiple stab wounds and cuts, was found last Wednesday in the hotel room she shared with the suspect. The man was later found unconscious in the vicinity with a large knife next to him. The man denied any wrongdoing, though later the Indian press reported that he had confessed to the crime. India does not have an extradition agreement with the Czech Republic, and if convicted, the man could face a life sentence, according to Indian law. Hammer thrower Lukáš Melich became the first Czech to win a medal at the Athletics World Championship in Moscow. Melich took third place in the hammer throw final on Monday night, throwing just short of the 80-meter mark, behind Hungary's Krisztián Pars and Poland's Paweł Fajdek, who took the gold with 81.97 meters. And in the 20-kilometer speed walking race on Tuesday morning, Aneška Drahotová finished seventh, reaching a personal best and matching the Czech record. And now for the weather, it will be mostly sunny in the upcoming days with possible light showers. Daytime temperatures will go up from around 22 degrees Celsius to around 25 degrees. My name is Masha Walensky, and that's all for the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the caretaker government has resigned. We look at what's next for the country in the wake of this development. And is the country's largest centre-right party, the Civic Democrats, heading for a defeat in the next general elections? And in focus, a new animated series that is based on Prague legends. All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. The Prime Minister of the caretaker government, Jiří Rusnok, on Tuesday handed his resignation to President Miloš Zeman, a week after his cabinet failed to win approval from the lower house. Mr. Rusnok and his ministers will, however, remain in office until after the next general elections, Jan Richter reports.
Vážený pane prezidente, v souladu...
Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok handed in his resignation to President Miloš Zeman at Prague Castle on Tuesday noon. The president then asked Mr. Rusnok and his ministers to continue in their positions until a new administration emerges from the next general elections. A snap election might come as soon as October, provided deputies next week deliver on their promise to vote in favor of dissolving the lower house. In that case, the Czech constitution requires the president to formally dissolve the Chamber of Deputies and call an early general election within the next 60 days. In the meantime, Prime Minister Rusnok told reporters that his cabinet would focus on day-to-day governing of the country and would not make any far-reaching decisions.
Our priorities are clear. We are an outgoing government and our priority is to keep public institutions running and to make sure that public administration works as it should. That's what we'll do. Whenever we will feel some decisions are required to meet those goals, we will, of course, make them.
Under this scenario, the Czech Republic would go through a stage unparalleled in its modern history. With the lower house dissolved, the Senate would become the sole legislative body capable of passing new legislation. Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok met with the Speaker of Parliament's upper chamber, Milan Štěch, on Monday to discuss their options. Mr. Rusnok then said bills could be passed using the so-called legal provisions of the Senate.
We do not shun this instrument, and if it is necessary, we will use it in coordination with the Senate. We have agreed to set up a hotline so that whenever the need arises, our legislative teams will meet to discuss such an eventuality.
Under the Constitution, the Senate's legal provisions would be in force for a period of 3 months, unless they are also approved by the lower house. But there is another issue that might prove an obstacle to an early general election. In recent weeks, the lower house passed a series of bills. Some of them deal with curbing subsidies for solar power. Others are related to a new civic code, which could not enter into force next year as planned, should these bills get scrapped. The draft legislation has been shipped to the Senate, but if senators decide to make any amendments, they will return for a final vote to the lower house. However, if the lower house were dissolved, the legislation would get swept under the table. To prevent that, political parties are considering striking a deal with the president to postpone the dissolution of the lower house so that there is enough time for MPs to clear the bills.
My thanks to Jan Richter for that report. Moving on now, the Civic Democratic Party has been the dominant political party on the centre-right throughout its 22-year history. But over the last few years, its position gradually changed, with defeats at the national and regional levels piling up and a corruption scandal hitting the former prime minister in June. With early elections slated for the autumn, can the party stop its free fall? And is there anyone among the Civic Democrats who can turn the party fortunes around? Jan Wellinger spoke to journalist and political analyst Jindřich Šídlo and asked him how he saw the situation.
I think that ODS is in its most difficult moment in their history, even much worse than they were 15 years ago during the split of the party at the end of Václav Klaus' era. That's not a problem just of summer 2013. ODS is on its way down for many years. I think since 2008, they have lost 9 from 10 elections, and their percentage or the number of votes they received in the last election 4 years ago was also the worst in their history. But I think that today they cannot hope for 20% as they got 4 years ago.
At the time, it was seen as not a very good result, as you say, but today the crisis they're in is so deep that they would be quite happy with that result. Ahead of early elections, finding a suitable candidate to run the campaign as well as to lead the party into the future, I imagine that would be one solution at least to the current crisis. But do the Civic Democrats have such a person? Last week I would have said Miroslava Němcová, the Speaker of the Lower House, but it doesn't seem as clear-cut today.
Well, it doesn't look all right, but on the other side, I simply cannot imagine too many politicians from ODS who could lead a party into the elections, because the problem is that ODS chose Martin Kuba as the first deputy for Peter Nečas in Brno 1 year ago on their party conference. But in fact, the problem is that Martin Kuba even cannot run, or he can, but he risks a lot if he runs in his own constituency in southern Bohemia. And Miroslava Němcová may be with Jiří Pospíšil, former Minister of Justice, and former Mayor of Prague, Bohuslav Svoboda, seem to be the only politicians who can lead the party, which does not mean that they will also become a new leader. After the elections, I think that ODS will have to find a new leader, a completely new leader. They will be probably in the same situation as in 2002, after Václav Klaus decided to leave the party and run for president. And I think that ODS will have enough time, plenty of time, to find such a leader, because they cannot hope nothing more than, let's say, a decent defeat, and they would be happy for 15%.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you agree then with what some political analysts have been saying, that the Civic Democrats, in order to get back up, they first have to suffer that defeat, that it's the only way to sort of cast off those so-called godfathers in the shadows pulling the strings. It's the only way to kind of reinvent themselves.
Well, I agree. And you have to know that maybe ODS knew very well that they would lose these elections, because they have been at government for a very long time, for almost 7 years with 1 year break, but they were responsible for official government. And I think that they have to calculate that they would definitely lose. But maybe more important and more dangerous thing for the development of the party will be next municipal elections in 2014, when ODS is in a real danger that they will lose the rest of their positions at Czech cities and towns. I talked to several representatives of ODS who told me they were really scared of these elections, which will be maybe more important for the party than the parliamentary.
Political analyst Jindřich Šídlo speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for In Focus with Jan Wellinger, looking at an interesting new animation project.
A group of independent filmmakers and animators headed by producer Mirek Veselý is nearing completion of a series of animated shorts entitled Old Prague Legends. As the name suggests, the series focuses on some of the city's oldest tales, both famous and almost forgotten. The best part? The team uses simple but effective techniques you can see for yourself online. And here's a taste, a short clip from the first series.
In the very heart of Europe, in a city called Prague, stands an old stone bridge named after the famous Bohemian king, Charles.
Bára Zichová is the project's PR manager. She told me more about Old Prague Legends this week.
We all know that some parts of history are getting forgotten, and that leaves room for various theories and legends. And of course, some of those legends are very well known, but majority is not. And that's why we have decided to include in the first series a unique collection of more famous stories from the old Prague. And if we will continue with the second series, that's where we will produce some of those less known legends.
Concretely, what are some that have already been produced in the first run, in the first series?
We have finished production of six legends already. They are available for our viewers on our website, legendystareprahy.cz. And we are finishing production of two more. So these eight legends will form our first series. And these are legends about the innocent child from the Charles Bridge, about the old town astronomical clock, about the innocence from the Jewish cemetery, about love on the castle stairs, about the Countess of Černín Palace, about Golem, about Faust's house, and about Devil's Stones at Vyšehrad. You know, we wanted to create them in such a way that would be easy to be understood. And the initial idea was that this is going to be a project for the internet, where we will use very simple animation. And that's why we chose simple and fast narration as well.
The aim is not only to reach Czech viewers, of course, but beyond. You're also dubbing the different parts into English. Is it correct to surmise that you want to address a larger audience?
Yes, exactly. This project has ambition to be easily understood not only by Czech people, but also by foreigners, visitors, and worldwide fans of Prague. Since anyone can watch some of the legends on our website for free, we have already a great response from, for example, Poland, Italy, Russia, and the United Kingdom, where people really like this project. And that's why, as you said, we want to dub old Prague legends into more languages. We have already first 8 episodes in English, and we are working on a Russian version as we speak.
What are some of the reactions that you've had? What have people written in?
Well, people really love it, you know, and they ask us about details, if we can, you know, disclose any more information about the legends. And they also ask us what legends they can, you know, looking for in the future that we are going to produce. So they want to know about the future of the project as well.
Let's turn now to the actual animation. What animation techniques are used? You mentioned that they were simple, but to my mind, they seem very effective.
Well, videos are created by a combination of a few different animation and graphic techniques. We use what is called a silhouette technique, as well as a traditional animation and some real components, like, for example, parts of photographs, textures of various materials like maps and books. And that's how this unique work is being created, and that's how we try to follow up a bit on a legacy of a famous Czech director and animator, Karel Zeman.
Indeed, he is one of the best known, and he was known for inventing many techniques that inspired generations. What kind of signature would you say that your series has? Something that, for example, either puts it in line with the past or also sets it apart?
Legends differ from other similar projects not only by the chosen animation techniques but also because of the way it's being narrated. You know, we want these legends to be easily understood by everyone, as I was saying. You know, that means that our viewers don't need any specific knowledge about Czech history. We want this to be a global project that will be comprehensible also to foreigners who want to get a sense of the Prague's atmosphere, and this all without looking deeply into history facts.
Everybody from the project is fairly experienced in the field. Did all of you know each other beforehand, or were there a couple of authors, say, involved in the project who then brought different people in?
The team members who are behind the old Prague legends didn't know each other and at the very beginning, and this is even true in some cases till today. At the very beginning, the producer, Mirek Veselý, had an idea for this project, and he turned to his former classmate from film school, and that's how he found the director for the project, Ondřej Žatečka. And Ondřej used to play in a music band some time ago, and he remembered that one of his mates had a son, Marek Berger, who studies animation at FAMU, which is a very famous Czech film school, and Marek brought some more people on board. So basically the whole team has never ever been together in one room, and it's something more like a virtual team that is working on the old Prague legends, and communication is done mainly via email, phone calls and Skype.
Of course, making movies is one of the most expensive businesses around. How is the project in fact being funded?
Yeah, you are right. Well, this project is financed so far mainly from our own personal finances and also from donations from friends of our work who will receive DVDs once the first series will be finished. And we also try to speak to various sponsors, but as you can imagine, that's not it's not that easy. But we will see how the first series will go, and once we will know how successful it is, we will start working, hopefully, on the next series.
A big hit in parts of the world has been Kickstarter or similar crowdfunding projects. Has that played any role in the funding of this project?
That's where we actually got our inspiration about the funding of this project from.
Have you gotten a response there? Have people pledged? Or do you think that you still have to work on that approach?
Well, they do. But we, of course, have to get the word out more about the old Prague legends so people will know more about it. And if they choose so, they could, you know, help with the project financially and get the DVDs in return. We are already talking to representatives of the brand of film studios about some form of cooperation. And we also talk to representatives of the Czech television about a possibility to use the old Prague legends on TV. But we can't disclose any further information at this stage.
Of the episodes that have been produced so far, is there any that you would especially recommend or that you yourself enjoyed?
To me, it was really special, the one about love on the castle stairs. I have to say that this really touched my heart because it's about love and about passion, and it's really beautiful, even though it's very sad.
And I'm afraid that edition of In Focus with Jan Wellinger has brought us to the end of our program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. So do check it out, radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.